Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, an extensive and longer episode than some of you are used to. First, we start with two doctors collide on two different visions for America. Fauci and Dr. Rand Paul. And then we get into the shocking new vaccine data. You're going to want to listen to this entire episode. Even if you are vaccinated, even if you believe in the vaccine, this episode will move you to action. It will get you into a place of asking questions. Are we living through a major scandal? We talk about some data and some studies that have been buried by the media that are quite honestly held under lock and key, and our team found them. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our podcast and you like the passion that we have for these topics and our ability to cover them, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, Victoria from Idaho, for supporting us. Alma from Alabama for supporting us. Thank you. Christy from Austin, Texas. Thank you. Janice from Maryland. Thank you. Jane from New Jersey. Thank you. At charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions. freedom@charliekirk.com. Text this episode to your friends. Make sure you're subscribed and give us 5-star reviews if you can. We are on the case, everybody, because you guys back us. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, which is the largest conservative student organization ever to exist, go to tpusa.com. What an episode. One of our favorites we've done because it's important and it's true and almost no one else is talking about it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? A lot. Truth is, I know millions of people. In fact, some people say over 100 million people are struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. Now, Pete and Seth Talbot, they are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. People ask me, tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. So maybe you want to be able to do cartwheels or be able to do backflips like producer Andrew. Maybe you want to be able to run a marathon, swim under seas, swim underwater, go scuba diving, jump out of an airplane, or maybe you want to be able to go to the Phoenix Suns finals game like some other people are going. But maybe it's your knee pain, back pain, joint pain, whatever pain it might be. Maybe Relief Factor is for you. ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com. We just finished our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida. Well over 4,000 students in attendance, hosted, of course, by Turning Point USA. I don't think I saw one mask throughout the entire conference. People were having a wonderful time, and I could tell you that whenever Fauci's name was mentioned, it was met with, I think, the highest level of venom and outrage from our crowd, and for very good reason. Fauci has become the caricature of big pharma, big government, anti-freedom measures. And quite honestly, he has become the mascot of unreasonable and corrupt decisions that have been made from our government. Now, Fauci is someone that we've talked about for quite some time. Fauci is a great example of what happens when government gets too big. When government gets too big, you get these rather clever, sly, devious, and dare I say, slippery operators who are able to be a permanent attribute of the system. They're very difficult to remove. They know what to say at congressional hearings. They know how to get and receive congressional funding. They know how to turn people against each other. They are experts in failing upwards. They've never done anything consequential. They have no massive successes to point to. Instead, he can just say, I've been here for 40 years. And somehow that allows him to stay. It's almost as if he has a blackmail file on every single person in his department. He is the highest paid employee of the entire federal government. And Fauci rarely gets confronted. Fauci rarely gets asked questions. You see, people like Fauci, no different than Brennan and Clapper, they hate exposure. No different than the war industry, no different than the Internal Revenue Service. People like Fauci, who have a clear history of manipulation, clever maneuvering, doublespeak, duplicitous, serpent-like behavior, they don't like being called out. Well, yesterday the stars aligned and Congress decided to actually exercise their Article 1 authority. Yesterday, Congress decided to do what the Article 1 of the Constitution clearly mandates Congress to do, which is to check and balance the administrative state. The first sentence of Article 1 is that all laws must originate through Congress. We lost this around the Woodrow Wilson era when all of a sudden the fourth branch of government, which we talked about a lot yesterday in our program, they have now become the rule-making industry, whether it be the EPA, the FDIC, the SEC. Thousands and thousands of arbitrary rules and regulations are added to the Federal Registry every single year, illegally and unconstitutionally. But yesterday, the stars aligned where Fauci was confronted by an actual doctor. Now, you see, people have to give Fauci this title. He's a doctor, don't you know? When was the last time Fauci saw patients? When was the last time Mr. Fauci sat in a room and diagnosed somebody? When was the last time Fauci walked in a room and had to wash his hands, look a patient in the eye, and go through the process of diagnosing and hopefully prescribing some treatment for that patient? When was the last time Fauci did that? Has he ever done that? No, instead, we give Fauci the doctor label while he's been a permanent government bureaucrat. Well, yesterday, an actual doctor, someone who has actually helped people, someone who has actually been in doctor's offices, not just being a doctor himself, in fact, being on the national board for eye doctors, was, of course, Dr. Rand Paul. You see, Dr. Rand Paul, instead of vacationing in Turks and Caicos, he went down to Haiti in his spare time a couple years ago and worked on emergency eye surgeries, cataract and glaucoma surgeries, and LASIK procedures for children who were malnourished in Haiti. That's where Dr. Rand Paul spends his time. Now, you see, Fauci doesn't like being called out by other doctors. Fauci likes to use a logical fallacy that we call arguing from authority. Fauci likes to say, I'm a doctor. 40 years. Public health. Consensus. And most senators back down because they don't want to be called anti-science. Dr. Rand Paul and Senator Rand Paul is not intimidated by the word games or the arguing of authority from the clever and sly and devious and duplicitous and slippery bureaucrat that is Fauci. You see, Dr. Rand Paul knows every single word of scientific lingo that can possibly thrown out like frisbees from Fauci at these Senate committees. Instead of fawning over Fauci, Rand Paul was waiting his turn. Rand Paul was waiting for his couple minutes to cross-examine Fauci, and what we saw yesterday was a collision of two doctors, one that's actually a doctor and one who's more like a political science, collide with two different visions for America. What we saw is one actual doctor call out the nonsense of someone who is best described as a lockdown artist, as a spokesperson for the biggest pharmaceutical companies on the planet, a shill for the vaccination industry, against someone who has to go meet and treat patients. You see, this collision course of a fake doctor and a real doctor, and when I say fake doctor, I mean, when was the last time he's actually been in a doctor's office? Being a permanent government bureaucrat distances yourself from human being. You become a defender of the bureaucracy. You become a shield of the process. You become obligated to cover up for things that have gone wrong before. You see, what we saw yesterday, which we are going to listen to together throughout this hour, is Rand Paul, with courage and clarity, call Fauci out for his crimes. Call Fauci out for his duplicitous behavior. And finally, we saw the U.S. Constitution at work. It's been far too long, dare I say. The Constitution gives all authority for checking and balancing the executive branch and the administrative state straight to Congress. Now, Congress has usually been too busy, like Eric Swalwell traveling to Middle Eastern countries like the Sultan of Brunei, shirtless on a camel, or Pelosi eating $55 ice cream. But finally, the administrative state was held accountable. And the two doctors that collided, the real doctor, won. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is, most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions that they serve. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers, data caps, streaming, throttles, and the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data onto other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that ISP cannot search or see any of your activity. ExpressVPN does all this without slowing down your connection. That's why I have it on all my devices. In fact, I just looked at it right now. So stop handing over all of your personal data to ISPs and tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with expressvpn.com/charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free. Go to ExpressVPN.com/Charlie right now to learn more. Fauci and Dr. Rand Paul collided yesterday. The Constitution gives explicit authority for the legislative branch to be able to check and balance, oversee, subpoena, and ask questions of the administrative branch or the executive branch. Now, we have allowed a new fourth of branch of government to be created over the years, which is a product of the progressive movement, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and more. And the lack of oversight from Congress has been so frustrating. Now, the exception to that is Dr. Rand Paul. In Cut 26, Dr. Rand Paul grills Anthony Fauci about the research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where we now know that all of the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab. And Fauci funded the lab. Cut 26.
If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2, that's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
And then Fauci responds in cut 27.
I totally resent the lie that you're now propagating.
You see, Fauci, as a clever, sly, devious bureaucrat, he thinks he knows how to maneuver a fellow doctor. But he's more than met his match. Cut 27, please.
Totally resent the lie that you are now propagating. And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent
and it could
that.
Have been.
And if anybody and it could is lying
been.
Here, Senator, it is you.
And you notice Fauci did not deny it. You notice Fauci did not say he was not involved in gain of function research. You notice that Fauci did not mention that gain of function research was not under his purview. In fact, cut 39. Let's get that queued up, please. Fauci, back in 2013, when no one was talking about public health or pandemic preparedness, Fauci was bragging on television, well, what we really need is the ability to be able to have more creativity. Cut 23, Fauci says that gain-of-function research, we can't have it be too restrictive, or else we can't be like Picasso. Cut 39.
You have to have some restrictions in the sense of you don't do work that could actually hurt people, in the sense of if you have a laboratory accident, you have to have the right containment. Once you start being too restrictive, you then impede creativity for so many of the good things that could come out of the same type of work.
Impede creativity. What sort of creativity do you need in gain-of-function research, Fauci? The ability to try to manipulate spike proteins into a SARS-CoV-2 virus? To create a highly contagious pathogen that might be spread across the planet? Had Fauci ever visited the Wuhan Institute of Virology? We don't know. What about the internal communications of our own government funding gain-of-research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology? How is that under the purview of the federal government? Can we get travel logs, records, financial background, and all that? Was Fauci getting kickbacks? Why is Fauci the highest paid employee of the federal government? You see, Fauci doesn't like questions, which goes to show he's likely guilty of something. Lying to Congress is a crime. Many people on the right, when they lie to Congress, or not even lie to Congress, it's incomplete statements or misremembering events or getting commas wrong or misremembering someone's name to jail to you for you. But when Clapper or Brennan, they lie in front of Congress around mass surveillance, nothing happens. We have numerous examples of people on the left that do not go to jail for lying in front of Congress. What about Fauci, where he so clearly, under oath, lied in front of the legislative branch? Cut 40, Rand Paul says that lying to Congress is a crime. And Fauci earlier had said that the NIH did not fund the Wuhan lab, when in fact they did. Not only is this not true, but Fauci was the one directing these resources. Fauci knew what he was saying was not true. So this, let me just tell you one of my big pet peeves, is one way to say it. It's one of my issues with how people describe lying. So for example, when someone says something that is not true, that does not necessarily mean they are lying. It is a lie when you know what you are saying is not true. That is what a lie is. So you could say something that is not true, but if you believe it to be true, you're simply misguided. But if you say something with the intent of trying to create an impression of something you know is not rooted in objective reality, then you are a liar. This happens a lot. People say, oh, I stop lying to me. They might be lying to you, or they might just be misguided. It's a big difference. Or one of my other things, when someone says, oh, no, I'm sorry, I lied. We're actually leaving at 3 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock. Well, no, unless you knew we were leaving at 3 o'clock the entire time, you just misspoke and you were confused. Now, this is an important distinction in the legal world as well, because Fauci will not be able to dodge his way out of this one. He will not be able to maneuver his way out of this one, because he was the one directing the funding. Even the most talented defense attorney on the planet will not be able to excuse this one away. Play cut 40.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a 5-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH.
And it was funded by the NIH. Lying to Congress is a crime. Rand Paul continued this in Cut 25, where Rand Paul said that I'm going to send a letter to the Department of Justice for a criminal referral. Now, the chances of the Department of Justice acting on this are almost zero. But Rand knows exactly what he's doing here. What Rand is doing is wise and it is helpful. He is creating a public awareness campaign of, number one, the two standards of justice. Why does Fauci get to lie under oath and get away with it? Number two, he gets to show that our public health officials have been intentionally misleading you since this pandemic began. Cut 25, Senator Rand Paul.
Is it your belief, based on the evidence, Senator, that he lied before Congress and broke the law?
Yes, and I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress. We have scientists that will line up by the dozens to say that the research he was funding was gain of function. He's doing this because he has a self-interest to cover his tracks and to cover his connection to Wuhan Lab.
And he has a self-interest to lie. He is the architect of this entire system. The capital flows that went from the U.S. taxpayer to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. In Cut 42, the real doctor, the doctor that sees patients, the doctor that goes and actually tries to heal people from malnutrition and give them their sight again, which, can you think of a more moral thing to, I could probably think of something, but what an incredible gift to give people, the ability of sight. So when Dr. Rand Paul is going to Central America and Haiti to give people their eyesight back, Fauci is designing clever capital flows to try to go from big companies to research grants to gain-of-function research. You see, there's an old expression by Mark Twain, otherwise known as Samuel Clemens. Tell the truth, it's easier to remember. Play Cut 42.
I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans.
I just want to reiterate something I said earlier. God bless Senator Rand Paul. I consider him a friend. He is exactly what the Founding Fathers envisioned as a truth-seeking senator. Rand Paul is almost always pushing back against the mainstream narrative. Now, some people disagree with him on certain policy items. I find very little I disagree with Rand Paul on. Maybe on some of the immigration stuff, if we have to dive into that. But let's go through what Rand Paul has been right on. Rand Paul warned us about mass surveillance and how American citizens are going to be spied on by our government. He was laughed at. Rand Paul warned about door-to-door campaigns knocking on people's residences to infringe on their civil liberties. Rand Paul warned us about an intelligence apparatus, if it goes unchecked, will be used against political opponents. Rand Paul warned us that if we have a public health apparatus that is not properly checked and balanced, they will infringe on our freedoms and liberties. Now, there are other great senators as well. Senator Ted Cruz, who just spoke at our Student Action Summit, Senator Josh Hawley. But Rand Paul always seems to be ahead of the curve on these issues. largely because Senator Rand Paul, in this particular instance, is the subject matter expert. He's actually a doctor. We have to trust the science, don't we? Well, how about the doctors that are in the weeds, looking eye to eye with patients that know how these pathogens operate and work? Dr. Rand Paul continued in cut 43 by saying the Wuhan research shows it as high risk. And Rand Paul, cross-examining Fauci in this way, is sending a shock to the entire system of the administrative state. What agency should we do next? Well, I got a nice list of them. So when you see the behavioral pattern of Dr. Fauci, or just Fauci as we call him this hour, I want you to think about this. Someone like Fauci is looking through your tax returns. Someone like Fauci is listening to your phone calls. Someone like Fauci is behind every single one of the federal agencies. And the only provision we have to hold them accountable is courageous senators in those short moments in those hearings. Cut 43, please.
Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, the Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens, that exist only in the lab, not in nature.
Now, in the short moments that these senators have to cross-examine, to oversee, you are able to see the constitutional framework at work. But it shouldn't stop here. Now, elections do have consequences, and I'm fired up because of the outright nonsense that we had to put up with the Georgia special election and David Perdue, that if Republicans controlled Congress right now, we would have these hearings every day. We would be demanding it. The grassroots would be calling on it. And quite honestly, I think Senator McConnell would listen. This is a winning political issue. And Senate Republicans are obviously conflicted with a lot of different special interests. I don't really think they're that conflicted with the Fauci types. Maybe I'm wrong. And it seems as if most Republican senators have an axe to grind with the deep state health officials in the administrative state. So as these two doctors collide for different visions for America, what is the vision that Fauci has? Run out the clock. Lie when necessary. Find a scapegoat. Use the media as your cover fire. And escape prosecution. You see, Fauci in some ways is a survivalist. Fauci knows how to survive public pressure when things go wrong, because Fauci has only ever been involved in things that go wrong. Pandemic preparedness? Who do you think's job that was? How about the guy that's been there for 40 years? Gain-of-function research? He's the one that designed that entire system. And then he lied about it in front of Congress. And if we still have a semblance of a justice system, it's time to indict Anthony Fauci. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is what's crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on Giza sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike is making a special offer for my listeners. You'll receive two for the one low price plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 1-800-875-0425. Use the promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com and make sure you use the promo code KIRK. A lot of people are emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, do you believe that Fauci will go to prison? Likely no. Should he? Of course. But the real question is, are we making the bad guys nervous? Do you notice they're always in a state of perpetual paranoia? What is done in darkness will be brought to light. The incredible damage that Fauci has done to our country, the power that he has, is unprecedented when you think about it. And it's uniquely unconstitutional. Now, if you want to get hyper-technical, obviously the NIH and all these health departments were given this power by Congress. But never before in American history has so many of our freedoms and liberties that were given to us naturally by our Creator taken away from us by people we did not elect. Instead, it was people that are in the shadows, who names and faces you did not know. So allow me to contribute some other questions for Fauci. And Senate Republicans, I met with a couple senators recently and I walked them through all this, and I think they're really missing one of the main points of Fauci, and that is in the Fauci emails. We covered the Fauci emails at great length here on this program. We read almost all of them here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We have an amazing team, at least all the pertinent ones. There were some where Fauci was just like, thanks, like whatever, and it's not a huge deal. But the ones that matter the most, and when you talk about cover-ups usually focus on certain periods of time. So where was the pivot point for Fauci? Where was the pivot point for the public health lockdown schemers? It happened on Friday evening on January 31st, 2020, when Fauci was confronted by his own team, and I'm paraphrasing here for all the fact checkers, that this was likely artificially made. And you could just imagine Fauci got a feeling of a pit in his stomach at that moment, because Fauci realized that this might expose the entire campaign that he designed. Soon after that, Fauci did not respond to his own scientists' emails on the Friday evening of January 31st. And as we have said on this program before, the only reason government bureaucrats work well into the evening on a Friday evening over the weekend is to cover something up. The only reason that government bureaucrats will burn the midnight oil is if they are trying to make sure you don't find out about a IRS targeting scandal or an NSA spying scandal. They have documents to disappear. They have people to put in a certain box. They have certain things they have to make sure do not come to light. And then Fauci emailed Hugh Auchincloss. I might have his name a little bit wrong, but his Mr. Wolf equivalent at NIH with subject line important. And this was done around midnight before January 31st, February 1st, 2020. And he says, I have a call with Azar in the morning. You are going to have some important tasks to do. Hugh Auchincloss responded and he said, I'm sure you've seen the email and the data. What happened on that moment was when the scheme and the plan was implemented and it was derived, you could say. That period of time is when the Deep State Department of Public Health decided to go all in on suppressing this idea that it came from a laboratory, which it obviously did. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that on our podcast. They went all in on this idea that our government had nothing to do with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And instead, their eyes got wide and they started dreaming. For very bad reason, they said, what if? What if this pandemic can give us importance, power, and a mass inoculation strategy? What if this can give us the pharmaceutical companies that we have always tried to pander to bigger profits and more power? Now, the only problem is this, is that their treacherous deeds are now being brought to light. And that is where you get involved. We cannot lose sight of what these people did to our country. Look, we all complain about the woke industrial complex, the woke Marxists that are running our schools, that are running media, and yes, also running our banks. You see, look, the real estate market, it's red hot. Tyler, he just sold his home, and he said, Charlie, I've never seen the market so unbelievable. So maybe you want to go buy a home. Maybe they're taking advantage of low interest rates. With all the economic uncertainty underway, people need to invest in real stuff. So here's a rule of thumb. We here are a solution-based show. So if you don't like the woke nonsense, stop using the woke banks. It's that simple. No more Wells Fargo. No more JP Morgan. No more Goldman Sachs. No more big bank culture. Instead, I have these two great friends, and they do a great job. It's Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian. They love the Lord. They are Christians. They are honest. They are straight shooters. And they are on a mission to make sure that you guys can refinance, but be told the truth. Look, when I took out mortgages for the properties that I have, it was one of the worst experiences I've ever been through. Yeah, some of the people were very nice, but I could tell you the bank itself was just so bureaucratic and hard to work with. My producer, Andrew, is working right now with Andrew and Todd to fight against the woke banking culture. And he tells me that they're part counselors, part financial counselors, planners, and they're really helping him. So here's the thing. Andrew and Todd are mortgage bankers. They're not brokers. That means Andrew and Todd and their team can take care of your loan personally from start to finish. You'll likely actually talk to Andrew and Todd yourself. So right now, maybe you're walking or you're like, I want to refinance the home, or maybe I'm under the process. Stop it. No more Wells Fargo. They're funding $1 billion to BLM Incorporated. Drives me nuts. Bank of America shut off a U.S. Senate candidate who's running in Senate in Delaware, just shut off their bank account. Instead, let's support the good guys. I know a lot of you right now say, Charlie, I want to support the good guys. Let's do it together, okay? So here's how you do it. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's pretty easy to remember, right? Andrew, Todd, andrewandtodd.com, or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172 and say, hey, I want to talk to Andrew and Todd. Charlie Kirk told me to call. In fact, I just had this unbelievable meeting with them. We talked theology. We talked the church. They're conservative. They're unbelievable. And all you have to do is call them up. Just go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172 and say, Andrew or Todd, I would like to speak to you. Charlie Kirk sent me. And I'm telling you, you'll probably get them on the phone unless they're traveling or handling some crisis. They take a lot of the phone calls themselves. Great people. andrewandtodd.com. No more woke banks. Let's work together to crush the back of woke Wall Street and support the good guys. andrewandtodd.com. For years, I went to events and people would come up to me and they'd all be wearing similar t-shirts and have huge briefing books around the issue of vaccines. And I never really paid much attention to it, to be perfectly honest. You know, after the 30 or 40th mom that came up to me and said, Charlie, you have to pay attention to this because my kid was perfectly normal, then got vaccinated, and then I believe he got autism from it, I started to pay a little bit more attention to it. Now, I'm not getting into the autism vaccine thing. I am not. I'm not qualified for that discussion. I find it interesting. We had Robert Kennedy Jr. on our podcast, so maybe that interests you. You could check it out. But I also, as someone who's in the communication business, where we talk literally for hours a day, I'm fascinated by things you are not allowed to talk about. And I'm very fascinated in things you're not allowed to talk about when you are forced to get something and then you can't ask questions about it. You must get the vaccine and you can't ask us questions about it. And if you dare say something negative, we're going to destroy your life. So that just by default really bothers me. I don't put up with that. Nor does Tucker Carlson. Nor does Candace Owens. Now, some people in conservative media are perfectly fine shilling for the vaccine. We are not that show. Now, for some people that are over the age of 70, they've talked very favorably about the vaccine. They feel at ease. They feel like they can travel again. They know the downsides. They've read the VAERS data. And they're really worried about getting the Chinese coronavirus. And for them, they believe the vaccine was the best decision for them. That is the beauty of choice. Yesterday, we had Olivia Sandor, who is getting forced to get the vaccine against her will, against the medical instructions that she was given, because she had a very severe adverse event and was paralyzed for a month, and getting another vaccine could kill her. BYU Hawaii went even further than the Hawaii law, which does not mandate vaccines, even further than the University of Hawaii saying we're going to mandate the vaccines. and basically say, hey, you could come to our university if you get the vaccine. We know you could die. We're not really interested in that. Or you can go somewhere else. We have not seen any development of that story since. And so as I have, as a show, just become more curious about this story, I have realized how dysfunctional this entire topic has become in American discourse. People get overly defensive about it, astonishingly emotional. And I really don't have that strong opinions either way. I definitely have a strong opinion about my own decision when it comes to this, where I've said publicly, I am not getting vaccinated. My wife is not getting vaccinated. We said that early. We're not going to get forced to get vaccinated. We're not going to put up with that. And we've had subject matter experts on this show, some people that are saying the vaccine is a massive accomplishment of science, that this particular vaccine, considering how fast it came to market and the science that's involved in it, is a modern marvel. And there are other people that are obviously think the exact opposite. But just in the last 24 to 48 hours, we have now seen new data from VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So I didn't know any of this up until recently because, again, at Turning Point USA and here on the Charlie Kirk Show, we're battling critical race theory. We were battling school board stuff. Before all this, we were battling overreach of government, the impeachment of Donald Trump. It was not a priority issue for us by any means. And I'm not diminishing or, you know, trying to say that if it is a priority issue, you're, you know, any less worthy of that opinion. So for those of you who don't know what VAERS is, recently become aware of this in the last couple months, VAERS is a website that's been established by the federal government called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It is a portal for doctors and healthcare officials to be able to put adverse events that happen around the vaccine into this database. And I started to visit this, and just first of all, just so you know, vaccine companies are immune to lawsuits. So imagine if you had an amusement park that was immune to lawsuits. Would you go on their roller coasters? Would you go on roller coasters where the owners can't be sued if all of a sudden it falls apart? You go up on that huge roller coaster at Six Flags that goes up 200 feet and it drops you. Like, oh, you all dropped to your death. Would you do that if you couldn't sue? Would that bother you? Would you eat at restaurants if they are immune to lawsuits of serving food that was poorly managed? If you found out that certain industries were immune to a check and balance in the courts, wouldn't that raise a red flag for you in order to push mass inoculation, which very well might have been a good thing or could have been a bad thing? Not for me to say either way. It's just a fact. The Congress of the United States decided to protect the vaccination industry from any sort of lawsuit. So you go to cdc.gov, and this is as of today. All of a sudden, the numbers in the VAERS database has skyrocketed by over 6,000 overnight. Now, we don't know, not know if these are backlogged adverse event reporting. We don't know if this happened in the last week. We don't know. But I'm going to read from our own government's website, cdc.gov. Reports of death after the COVID vaccine are rare. Now, let me stop there. Is rare a scientific term? No, rare is a, by definition, subjective term. Rare is, it can mean anything for anyone. 1% could be rare. Half of 1% could be rare. Continues by saying, during this time, VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, has received 12,313 reports of death among people who received the vaccine. So let me get this straight. 12,313 deaths after getting the vaccine. Now, they say that the reports of adverse events do not necessarily mean that the vaccine caused a health problem. So that's up for you to decide the causation and correlation. For example, who are we to say that Simone, the 19-year-old black girl going to Northwestern perfectly healthy, she gets the second dose of Moderna shot, she dies of a heart complication 6 weeks later. Is that normal? It's up for you to decide. Is it normal that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine now has new guidance from the federal government that it could result in a rare nerve disease? That's up for you to decide. Now, we're just simply asking questions here, but when you dare ask questions against a massive kind of interinstitutional strategy, you come under unprecedented backlash. And so here's a question I'm going to reiterate. Why all of a sudden this late night sneaky data dump of another 6,000 deaths into the vaccine adverse event reporting system? Where did that come from? In 1988 is when the vaccine companies received liability protection. Thank you. I'm going to ask this question again. Did 6,000 people report a death after the vaccine in the past week alone? Or is this a data dump that they were hiding and that they're now trying to cover up? So if the vaccine adverse event reporting system shows that there have been 12,000 deaths after getting the vaccine, the question is, what percentage of adverse events are actually reported to VAERS? Is it high? For example, are people seeing things that aren't true when it comes to those adverse events? Is it perfect or is it potentially low? For example, is the number that's been published by the government actually not the whole story? Are there more people that have had adverse events to vaccines that are actually reporting them? Now, according to a report, a grant final report, grant ID R18HS017045, electronic support for public health vaccine adverse event reporting system, from 2007 to 2010, well before this got politicized, the principal investigator, Dr. Lazarus Ross, MBBS, MBH, MMED, I'm just going through all his credentials, other team member Michael Klompas, Harvard Pilgrim, and Steve Bernstein, submitted a report to the Agency for Healthcare Research for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So they sent in a report that said they believe, I want to make sure I get this right, that fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events report of adverse events are reported. Lower reporting rates preclude or slow the identification of problem drugs and vaccines that endanger public health. This is according to their report. Now, I was pushing my team during the break because I said, look, I personally believe that VAERS is under-reporting. But what proof do I have of that? Who said that? It's not enough that I believe that. We're not CNN. We're not just spouting out random theories here. Who said that and where is it verified? Well, this report right here that was done about 13 years ago just kind of measured how many adverse events are actually reported. And their own report done by Dr. Lazarus Ross said that less than 1% of vaccine adverse event report events are reported. Which makes me trust this even more because this was well before the Chinese coronavirus. This is literally when I was in seventh grade, this report came out. And this was done over 3 years. So I suppose the question is that if 1% is correct, let's pretend that it's 10%. Let's be generous. Let's say that people are more in a position to report than even when it was back in 2007, 2010. Let's say that the heightened awareness of the vaccine and some of the facts around it have made people more compelled to report. Let's say 10%. That would mean 120,000 people died after getting the vaccine, according to this. Now, that's just extrapolation. That is just speculation for all the hall monitors right now on social media that want to take down our feed. I'm being generous. And if you think about it, I mean, I know plenty of people that have had adverse events with the vaccine, people that were bedridden, people that have lost their taste and their smell, people that have had their menstrual cycles completely messed up, behavioral changes, paralyzed from the waist down. We have thousands of emails around that. And I ask, have you reported it? Almost none of them have. So I could just tell you anecdotally and personally, but we want to be precise here on this program. So according to this government document, it shows that 1% of adverse event reports actually end up into the VAERS database. 1%. But the FDA, from the same report, not specifically for VAERS, by the way, that just adverse events from drugs and vaccines are common. This is from the same report, but underreported. Although 25% of ambulatory patients experience an adverse drug event, less than 0.3% of all drug events and 1 to 113% of serious events are reported to the Food and Drug Administration. So what this independent study that was done by Dr. Lazarus Ross submitted to HHS with team members of Dr. Mike Klompas from the Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Organization, Project Officer Steve Bernstein, grant ID R18HS017045. You could check all our data here. So I'm just doing that so you guys can. Dr. Ross Lazarus, there's an underreporting problem in our government. So if that is true, then what's the real number? How many people are experiencing adverse health events right now because of the vaccine? Charlie Kirk here, and I've warned you about home title theft, where cyber thieves remove you from your home's title and you become the owner. I said you better get home title locked because it's coming. Well, if you're on Facebook, that big breach is here. Facebook had 500 million accounts exposed to cyber thieves. And according to a retired FBI cybercrime expert, everything thieves need to take over is the new owner of your home was leaked. Name, address, personal information, it's out there. The thief forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. He'll leave you in debt or he'll even have you evicted. Do what I did and protect your home's title with home title lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection during this high-risk breach. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection. Again, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio.
This is an important topic. We are all living in Jeremy Bentham's world. Jeremy Bentham was kind of the father of utilitarianism.
He developed something that we have heard time and time again, but this is what is justifying the mass inoculation strategy, and quite honestly is what justifying the suppression and the censorship and the clamping down of the questions that we are asking on this show. Jeremy Bentham was the father or the founder of modern utilitarianism. Now, not everything about this school of thought is necessarily wrong. You could almost point to every philosopher of every time being right about something. But the general theme of utilitarianism is, I quote, "It is the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people that is the measure of right and wrong." That sounds non-controversial, obviously. But under that view, having 70% of America happy and 30% miserable is a success. You see, Bentham disagreed with what John Locke would write. Actually, John Locke was a predecessor of Jeremy Bentham, which is that instead of trying to centrally manage and plan human happiness and outcomes, we should protect natural rights and natural law and allow people to pursue it as they see fit. Jeremy Bentham thought that natural law and natural rights being divine or God-given was, quote, nonsense upon stilts. Jeremy Bentham and his tradition was continued by John Stuart Mill and many others. Now, this is not necessarily wrong when we're talking about family formation or reducing crime. I think there's definitely some positives to this line of thinking of trying to have desired, objectively good outcomes for people. But the justification for the mass inoculation strategy is kind of an indifference and kind of a casting aside of any form of rights when it comes to something as personal, as intrusive, and as invasive as a vaccine. So as we've been talking about throughout this entire hour, the new VAERS data, according to the CDC website, VAERS,
is a public portal that you can plug into. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System shows that there is as many as 12,313 deaths after getting the vaccine. We've also gone into detail about how the VAERS and the FDA, according to this study of the Electronic Support for Public Health Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, shows that it really might only reflect 1%. So if VAERS is off by 99%, that would mean 1.2 million people died after getting the vaccine. If VAERS is off by 90%, that means that... So where are our elected leaders looking into this? Why are our leaders all of a sudden peddling the vaccine? What's behind this? For example, in Cut 28, why is Senator Mitch McConnell using his political power to go push forward the vaccine when all of a sudden we're seeing late-night data dumps around the VAERS, people getting paralyzed? Let me just read more of the VAERS data. This is just that we know of, which could just be 1%. By the way, this could be 50%. It could be 70%. We don't know. But we do know, according to independent studies, there is a pattern of underreporting. 4,745 people had a swelling face, 4,640 people muscle spasms. This is from the government website. 4,637 had vertigo, 4,313 had blood pressure increased, 3,961 with hypertension, 3,000 people with a seizure, 2,626 people with a loss of personal independence and daily activities, 2,585 people with hypotension, 2,377 people with Bell's palsy, 2,353 people with visual impairment, 1,874 people with heavy menstrual bleeding, 1,777 people with facial paralysis, 1,512 people with inflammation, 1,487 people with anaphylactic reaction, 1,747 people with deep vein thrombosis, 1,431 people with menstrual irregular behavior, 1,168 people with myocarditis, 1,160 people with menstrual disorder, 1,072 people with a white blood cell count increase, with 1,765 people with intensive care. This is all off the CDC website, by the way. No speculation, no extrapolation. We've already gone into how this might be underreported, or it could be that our government has become so efficient and so precise, and they've become experts at reporting. That is possible, too. It could be that the government is perfect. It's a possibility. 947 people with deafness, 942 people developed a speech disorder, 868 people with a heart rate irregularity, 812 people with oral herpes, 807 people with myocardial interaction, 704 people, and excuse the vivid imagery here, with vaginal hemorrhaging, 697 people with a heart rate decreasing, 653 people with oxygen saturation, 651 people with acute kidney injury, 644 people went blind, 631 people with hallucination, 513 people with depression. So why are our leaders, like in Cut 28, Senator McConnell saying, get vaccinated? Why is that? Play Cut 28.
It never occurred to me after three highly effective vaccines were developed in under a year that we'd have difficulty getting Americans to take the shots. These shots need to get in everybody's arm as rapidly as possible, or we're going to be back in a situation in the fall that we don't yearn for, that we went through last year.
So just so you know, I praise Senator McConnell when he's right, and I'm just perplexed when he's wrong. Does he know all this data that I just listed? Which, by the way, could be 1%. Or it could be perfect. It might be the government has just hit it perfectly. Or maybe the government's lying about us. But the government doesn't lie very often, right? So maybe we're just, our government's the most ethical thing that's ever been created ever, obviously. They never lie about surveillance or audits or targeting people. Cut 30, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that New York City health workers are now required to show proof of vaccination or take a weekly COVID test.
We have 22 million healthcare workers in the United States, and by the information we have, only about 50% are vaccinated. This is unacceptable, but enough is enough. We need our healthcare workers to be vaccinated, and it's getting dangerous with the Delta variant.
We need to get people vaccinated. But now it's getting to the point where they want to make your life uncomfortable if you're not vaccinated. So why is that so many vaccinated people are now getting the virus? Pelosi's aide was vaccinated. She got the virus. The Texas Democrats that left with Miller Lite and they came back with Corona. I want you to imagine if Republicans fled a state house to not do their constitutionally obligated duties, chartered a private jet, did so without wearing masks, with alcohol alongside of them, went to Washington, D.C., held an event with Mike Pence and Donald Trump, turned out to be a super spreader. How do you think the media would react to that? Why is it the Republican Party so afraid to ask for the truth here? We might be sitting on a major scandal here. I'm not sure it is. All I know is that we've had to be lectured about Russia collusion, Ukrainian interference. We were lectured about Donald Trump putting children in cages, Trump gassing protesters. Isn't it interesting that we are suspecting that our government is under-reporting what happens when there's mass inoculation? Why is it that in Israel, so many people that are vaccinated are getting sick? In the United Kingdom, a new UK study shows that 47% of all new COVID cases are people that were vaccinated. According to the Jerusalem Post, more than 1,000 Israelis, almost all of whom are vaccinated, test positive for COVID. Why are they reinstituting a mask mandate in Los Angeles if the vaccine works so well? Naftali Bennett says that the vaccine might not be effective. So why are we mandating that, implementing it? And then why are Republicans not trying to hold massive tribunals and oversight committees asking, hey, is VAERS accurate, Dr. Fauci? We should be dragging every single public health official on payroll of the federal government, asking them and having a whole time out before we push this vaccine on our children. Why is it that 11,713 people had chest pain, according to VAERS? How about 8,943 people with tremors? 8,190 people with heart palpitations? 7,434 people with a loss of consciousness? 4,745 people with a swelled face? If the Republican Party will not defend their voters, the Republic will end. We might be sitting on a massive medical scandal here. And the people that you elect to protect you don't seem very interested in it. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, like a Fiat or a Kia, Pacifica or XT5, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders all of the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com right in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like mortgages or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, or 100% more on the exact same auto parts as a chain store or the new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will be like what airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business and serving auto part customers for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com and shop auto body part customers from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much on the same auto parts? Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. write Charlie Kirk in the How Did You Hear About Us. That's rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Our team has done a phenomenal job. It is so hard to find the vaccine data. It's under lock and key. You can't find it just through Google or through Yahoo or through Bing. You have to know where to look and you have to navigate. Our team has done such a great job of it. If you were just to type in the stuff to Google, you'll come up totally short. It's almost as if they're not wanting you to find out what's happening. Now, according to TheHill.com, which is a mainstream, some would say a center-left publication, quote, top health expert says vaccinated people are spreading Delta variant. According to TheHill.com, Christopher Murray said that vaccinated individuals may be contributing to the spread of COVID-19. As the Delta variant becomes the most dominant strain, Murray points to that not testing vaccinated individuals may overlook possible transmission points. They might try to lock down the country again. Speaking to Insider, Christopher Murray, the director of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, said that testing vaccinated people may be overlooking some transmission. We actually have states where hospitalizations are going up more than cases. We're probably missing a bunch of transmission in vaccinated individuals. Is the vaccine creating a pattern of shedding where more people are transmitting the virus than not? Is the vaccine contributing to the spread or is it preventing the spread? We don't know. We're told that it's obviously stopping the spread. We're told that the vaccine is the solution. It could be. Or what if it isn't? These are questions that our leaders need to be asking, not repeating this phrase, you must get vaccinated at all costs. You must get the jab. Get it in you. You see, we have leaders that try to protect us against the overreach. That's not why we have Democrat leaders. You elect Democrats to overreach. You have Republicans Republicans are mainly useless when you elect them. It's true. I mean, it's just, we talk about this quite often. The one thing they're usually good for, though, is saying no and stopping bad stuff from happening. And that's a perfectly good reason for your existence, by the way. It's a very moral thing to do to stop bad things from happening. So where are the Republicans that are just saying, time out, we might be sitting on something that we are not prepared for. We might be experiencing massive and significant long-term health effects, especially as we vaccinate children. That if these VAERS data is 10% or even half off, you could be looking at multiples of these numbers that I went through. And yet they want to make life more difficult because you might have questions. They say you're an anti-vaxxer. It's some sort of like QAnon smear. It's their new racist, right? It's the new term they use. They have a whole portfolio of accusations they use. You're a bigot. You hate trans people. Colonialist. You're anti-science, anti-vaxxer. Okay, I'm just reading the CDC website, which I thought was a pro-science website. There's something very disturbing and nefarious when the government hides facts, but then knocks on my door to take a vaccine. That's not right. There's something else going on here that we deserve to know. There's something else at play beyond what the public health officials are telling you. Do you know that usually 25 to 50 deaths reported in VAERS shut down an entire vaccination program? 5 to 10 deaths get the black box warning. A doctor by the name of Dr. Peter McCullough calls this a biological horror show. We'll leave it at that. Where are the Republicans? They need to defend you. You need to have your right protected. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our podcast, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.